Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are covering the finale, the grand finale, the culmination of all things in the multiverse. What if the Watcher broke his oath? That is season 1, episode 9. All that immortals is that we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I am Jeff Randall.
And in our third chair from the Animation Deliberation Podcast, we have J. Scotty St. Clair. How you doing, J. Scotty?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you again for having me back. Excited to discuss this epic finale.
Dude, I'm epic really, indeed.
I'm excited to discuss it with you. I have not podcasted with you nearly enough yet lately. So I'm super excited today about it. If a little behind the scenes, this is our third podcast together today. But no, I am so freaking pumped. What did you guys think? It was a very action heavy episode, but just a lot of fun things and bringing all these characters together. And I mean, why is Gamora, right?
Why is Gamora?
Yep.
It's one of those, like, I don't know, man. We're going to have to go back in season 2 and revisit that universe.
Yeah, I guess. So, right. Do you think that was maybe the one that they nixed for? You remember we heard they nixed one of the scripts?
It's got to be.
Yeah. Okay.
That world with Gamora, destroyer of Thanos, and whatever this new Hulkbuster version of Tony that's like decked out with almost, it looked like it could have been like Sakaarin or potentially.
He had the paint on the helmet that was like very much what Valkyrie had.
Yeah. Scrapper. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Yes. Yeah, and they say something about Sakaar.
Well, when the Watcher showed up, he called Gamora Survivor of Sakaar.
True.
So it's like instead of Hulk and Thor, somehow Gamora and Tony got sent to Sakaar. Is that like maybe what's going on? Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So what'd you guys think of this episode?
I was very, very satisfied with it. All the little touchstones we got to see the Lumerian star again. We got the send-off with the last episode, seeing Uatu go to recruit Doctor Strange, but that was one of my favorite things in this episode, is getting to see the various members recruited, and especially Party Thor when he gets scooped up and just Chris Hemsworth, his hilarious scream as he's being like handled like an action figure was just delightful.
And the Viva Las Vegas. And then later he's just like, Vegas! Yep. So good. And like, Uatu not being able to get his attention was really wonderful. Like, Uatu being like, Thor, son of Odin, rightful prince of...
Have at you!
Thor!
Have at you! And you too!
Thor!
And you too!
Thor!
Thor, shut up for a minute! I felt this entire episode, like, start to finish, it was almost like watching Infinity War and Endgame again, just like that high of like a culmination of like so many things that were disparate, and then it all came together into this one like really triumphant sequence the whole time. Like even when they were losing, it was still, it just felt so amazing. It was, oh my god, the all of it was just like, it was so great. Like the sequence with all of the Guardians of the Multiverse like assaulting the Infinite Ultron, whatever, you know, they just call them Ultron, but it's like Infinite Ultron, obviously.
When it was like distracting Ultron or whatever, trying to keep him from the stone.
Like, when they were just like,
keep away.
Let him have it.
Yeah.
They were like, let him have it. Like, don't stop. Don't let up. Don't let him think. And we had, it was such a good sequence. Like,
yeah.
That was masterful. That was like, that was film level quality of a sequence.
For sure.
Yeah, this whole thing, I mean, this is as good as most animated films, for sure. like this entire series. I'm blown away by the quality of this whole thing. Yeah, and I loved in that sequence, I love the double shields. I love that Black Widow still has Red Guardian shield, and
yeah.
Captain Carter has the Captain Carter shield. It's just a lot of fun. Oh, what's with Steve still being alive in the Hydra Stomper?
Is it Steve?
I don't know. We don't know.
But they did say somebody is in there.
And it was absurd. The smile was alluding to Steve.
That smile was alluding to Steve. It was very much a similar setup to the Winter Soldier ensemble from when he was frozen.
I totally agree. And that's what, like, it definitely is, like, as if they're bringing back the Winter Soldier, but this time it's the Hydra Stomper. But is it going to be Steve? That's the question. Or is it going to be someone else? Or is it all a trick and Natasha is Hydra in that world? And they're BFFs and it would be a real betrayal.
I don't like that at all, Matt. Like, I was riding this high and you brought in this bad thing.
I just don't see why Steve would still be alive in there. So, like, I feel like I don't trust Natasha in that moment, especially because they're BFFs. Especially because they're BFFs. Natasha would never say BFF.
That's out of character. Why we have to revisit the universe in season two.
Okay, so we got the Guardians of the Multiverse. Obviously, yes, we have that established. It's amazing. I loved the bar scene. I love them all sitting around. And the idea that we could get all of these characters and possibly more introduced next season and then still have these sorts of crossover episodes or maybe even crossovers throughout. Yeah, I'm pumped for this series going forward.
Yeah. Am I the only one that had a teensy little bit of a letdown, like the slightest little letdown in this episode where, Wynette, like, did not want to go back to her universe, and Uatu dropped her in a universe that lost their widow. I was like, we have a universe that lost their widow! Like,
oh.
I was losing my mind, and then it was like, nope, it's the one where Hank Pym killed everybody.
Yeah.
There was a moment in my mind where that thought definitely crossed my mind, but I actually didn't make the connection that it was that world from episode 3. So good call there. When I just saw Captain Marvel fighting alongside Captain America, I was like, ooh, on a helicarrier. I was like, I want to see this universe. So if it was that universe, definitely a good call out there.
That universe ended with Captain Marvel inside the ship at the bottom of the ocean, picking up Captain America with Nick Fury. So that was the fight continuing or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Good call.
Yeah. There was a dogfight around the helicarrier with all of the Asgardian ships, and like there were Asgardians that
that's
were
right.
Okay, yeah, that's why Loki was there, and I was told you were dead. Okay.
Also,
it's late.
Also, it's kind of the only episode we hadn't touched on yet, so it's like all of the episodes tied in except for that one, and so that was like
that's why
we included that episode. Episode it's like that's gave her a home to go to, which is really nice.
There's already one that lost his widow. We can get back. Please.
So why didn't you send her to us, Uatu?
I want that. Please. Like, think about how freaking amazing it would be to let ScarJo transform that character like that. To be the widow that lost everyone. And is just dirty all the time.
Yeah, she never
gets a shower.
Out of reverence for her people, her lost fallen world, she never showers.
Yeah. She's like, I forgot how to shower. Life's been real rough since Ultron.
Pigpen, there's a dust cloud that follows everywhere. She's like, Pigpen, there wasn't Black someone just snapped. Don't worry about that.
Oh man, it's obvious the midnight wee hours brain is picking up because these jokes are being made.
it's wee hours what if for sure.
So I'm sorry, but only a little bit.
Oh man, all the Killmonger and T'Challa stuff. Oof.
Oof.
And just seeing Killmonger, that Killmonger was definitely Black Panther, which we discussed, and like
right.
him, I don't know. And he's getting closed in on by all those, by all the people that are coming to arrest him or whatever. And then he just gets ripped out of that universe. Ugh. I want to know everything about every. I love how every time we checked in on a new person, it was cool to see where they had gotten from the last time we saw them. And a lot of them had like progressed significantly, and some of them were just like barely past where they were.
Yeah, like right. I love that. You know, when we checked in with Agent Carter, we got the opening sequence from the Winter Soldier
right.
and the Lemurian Star, like you said, and we actually got Georges St-Pierre to be the voice of Batroc again.
Nice.
Oh, that's neat.
This is his like fourth outing as Batroc. Because of those like two appearances in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Right.
So like we just keep getting Batroc. He just doesn't stop. He keeps on leaping up. That was a dumb joke. I'm sorry.
All good.
The progression of Wakanda, and like I so thought that for like a brief moment we were going to get what is her name? Shuri from the Wakanda where Killmonger killed Tony. Like,
oh, that would have been so fun.
I was like, yes, take her. Nothing.
That would have been weird and fun to have like little girl Shuri in there.
Yeah.
What? I don't know. What is the skill set you picked her for? I mean, she's very smart, but she's also very young.
Like, they didn't really need a tech person, I guess, because right. there wasn't, like...
They had all that magic.
There was nothing to have to build or whatever. Like, it was... Especially with, you know, Strange Supreme just being like, here's armor for everyone. Blah, it's magic! Yeah. Yeah. It's like, here's some non-consensual spell. Yeah, you're gonna feel it.
I like the armor a lot. I like the multiplication of the hammers. Was really
oh my god, yeah. The Mjolnir swarm.
That was sweet.
Hammer yeah.
Mjolnir. Oh, so cool.
And you called it with the zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just dumping the zombies onto Ultron, and then
Zombie Wanda.
Ooh. Zombie Wanda got to be a badass.
I wanted her to do a little more. Like it kind of that happened. That, I wanted more of that fight. I wanted her to like keep him busy for a little while because it seems like she could have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe, kind of, probably. I don't know. She wasn't defending her love from sure. and on like an advancing Thanos. So,
sure.
I don't know. Like this. This Ultron boy is Skronk. He's a Skronk boy.
We did get, we kind of speculated on the idea of them getting their own set of stones and coming after Ultravision. And like, they did end up using one time stone against the other time stone, which was kind of cool.
Yeah. Cancel out the time bendiness.
Yeah.
Timey-wimey, no.
Timey, no. Stop it.
And then just kind of going back to Wanda for a second, just that whole sequence getting her, that whole battle did kind of remind me of the scene out of Infinity War, even when Doctor Strange goes and uses the dragons that kind of just emit from his forearms, and then Thor has that moment where like, you were hiding those the entire time? Very much reminded me of Okoye in Infinity War with Wanda.
Why was she up there this whole time?
Exactly, exactly.
Yep. Oh my god, there's so many of those little callbacks. I feel like this one did that better, though. You know, like, you remember how I was complaining, like, four episodes ago or something, where it was like, it's too many callbacks.
Right.
Like, it's too much just, like, self-referential navel-gazing, whatever you want to call it. Like, it's too much of it. But, like, this was beautiful. Mm. And, like, all of that was very much well done. Very much well done here. Good here, not great there.
Once Zola got in Vision's body and put the stomach...
We got the classic Zola with the stomach face!
Classic stomach face Zola.
Classic stomach face Zola.
We have speculated on whether we would ever see that, and now we have. And it made me a little thoughtful in the middle of this episode where I was like, wait... So they do, especially with the idea that they had to nix the script because it was too similar to something they wanted to do, right? That was, like, supposedly said. So, like, do we think that things they do on What If are kind of closing off possibilities for things they might do? You know what I mean? Like, the fact that they showed, like, the fact that they did the Stomach Zola, does that mean we might never get Stomach Zola in the proper MCU? Not that it has to mean that, but it, like, it starts to feel like we, on this podcast every week, we sit and speculate about all the possibilities, and are we going to start going like, oh, they could do this. Oh, they kind of did that on What If. You know what I mean? Like, is What If sort of like truncating, like putting some guardrails up where like, well, we don't want to do something too close to What If, or at least we don't want What If to do something too close to what we're planning. So are we kind of getting some bumpers put on the universe a little bit?
I wouldn't call it bumpers. I think that it's more the things that are just way too out there. Like Stomach Face Zola, like that doesn't make sense for like that character from comics where it's like, it's a robot body and he's got his face in a TV screen in the stomach of the thing. Like it's way too much, but like,
it's pretty extra.
What If? Yeah, it's super extra, but like, in What If, like, it kind of checks out, you know?
Yeah.
And it makes a little more sense when you can just like, it's a cartoon, it's animated, it's like, it's a thing there. But I also kind of feel like they're testing the water for some things. They're setting us up a little bit. Like, when Ultron showed up, you know, when Thor attracted the attention,
the unwanted attention.
He excels at attracting unwanted attention. when Ultron showed up and was like, so there is intelligent life here. Like, he looked and felt again like Galactus. Like, I feel like they're pushing us into being okay with Galactus.
Yeah. So on that level, that size.
That scale.
And it looked like he was projecting himself. But last time it looked like he was actually eating, like he was actually existing at that level. This looked more like a projection, kind of.
Yeah, it was either a projection or like it was, you know, magnified by looking through the looking glass, if you will.
right.
Into that universe. Because then he just like showed up in the sky.
True. Yeah. I think he was just kind of being the watcher in that way and just observing. But kind of going back to Zola for just a second, with him, I feel like he's kind of like run his course in the MCU, and like we got to see like that comics version adapted in the Winter Soldier when we saw the face kind of illuminated and you got the whole War Games reference. So I felt like this was just kind of like a final hoorah for Toby Jones to get to kind of bring that character back, and kind of just a wink and a nod to the real comics fans there. I do think you're onto something with Gamora and them deciding to cut that episode in particular, because even going off of Endgame, there's a variant version, for lack of a better term, of Gamora out there, but it's not
our
version of Gamora. So I do think there's a strong possibility they're going to be playing with multiple versions of Gamora. That's why they don't want to muddy the waters too much. While she did play a role in this episode, she really wasn't the focal point at all.
So we've had, where is Gamora? We've had, who is Gamora? Why is Gamora? Now we're getting, how many is Gamora?
Which is Gamora?
No. Yeah? No, it's never been Which is Gamora. not going to be.
So, is it true that this Gamora is somewhere, was it on a toy or something, was called Daughter of Thanos Gamora?
Brian mentioned that. I'm not as educated on the merchandising.
I'm not either. But if that's the case, and we know she's carrying Thanos' sword, like, is it possible that, like, this Gamora was sort of still following the path of Thanos, and maybe she ends up on Sakaar and da 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 da, and you deal with like a Gamora, an unrepentant Thanos disciple Gamora, like that, and maybe that's what we're going to get in Guardians of the Galaxy, which is why, you know, because she's still working for Thanos when she gets teleported from like 2008 or whatever. So maybe the only similarity is the fact that like it's a Gamora that has not yet like learned the flaws of her father's logic.
She has, though. The one that we got in modern, like, or that came to Endgame, like she was already on the path of getting away from Thanos and like keeping the information about Vormir away from him.
Okay. I don't really remember. Gotta
watch Endgame again.
I definitely do. did you guys think Ultravision's voice sounded weird? Like different? No. Like, I thought it sounded a lot like Spader-esque the first time. This time I felt like it didn't. Like, it didn't sound the same to me, but.
It sounded like it had, like, less voice processing on it, or, like, less modulation or whatever.
Yeah.
But it still sounded the same.
Yeah, the first time he spoke, it sounded so plain to me. It didn't. I was like, who is that? Is that the same character? But I don't know.
Yeah, still Ross Mark One.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of which, Ross Marquand obviously already got to bring a defunct Marvel villain back to life when he portrayed the Red Skull. So I have to say there was somewhere in the back of my mind, I guess, like hoping against all hope, I thought maybe there was a scenario where this version of Ultron actually won and maybe we were going to get to see like at the very end of the show, like a live action Ultron come back into the picture. Like how great would have that been?
Infinite Ultron stepping into live action out of a portal. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could handle it.
I really like this show. I think it's great. I am a little bummed that we don't have any direct crossovers. Though we had three opportunities. We had the idea of Kang showing up. We had the idea of Ultron, the Ultron storyline continuing on. And we had the idea toward the end there that Nat could get dropped off in our timeline. None of those things happened. Maybe we'll still get some zombies to come on over.
We still got room for zombies. Come on, guys.
Plenty of zombie space.
Bring it in.
Big fields for zombies.
We never got Peter.
No, we didn't. Oh, yeah. We got Wanda. We were talking about who we would get from each thing, and we ended up getting Wanda, which is one of the things we joked about.
Yeah, we were like, ah, ha, ha, it would be so funny if...
Yeah.
I was like, no, that's the thing.
Of course, we were saying it would be Wanda with the gauntlet. So that didn't happen, but.
See, when you said Peter, I thought you were talking about Peter Quill. And we did have the whole question lingering there. Was he going to end up being a bad guy? And Ego just immediately went to turning him into a battery.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine, Peter. It's all going to, it'll all be over in a few thousand years.
Oof. I love that they kind of resolved that with, like, I mean, it was very quick, but whatever T'Challa did seemed to stop that from Ego. At least, like, he interfered and saved Peter. So, like, you know, we left off with a very scary moment with Ego coming to approach Peter at the Dairy Queen. So it's nice to see T'Challa, like, show up there and, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's just like another thing that they were able to like resolve. Like they tied so many of these stories up in one ending, and it's like it's eight different universes all getting some sort of advancement or tie together, and an overarching story all getting tied together. It really well done.
Yeah,
much applause.
Very well done, but kind of sad that again, Chadwick Boseman. Like this was his last thing. This was his last episode. And the last we saw of him was, in kind of a, like a, almost like a father son bonding moment between him and Peter Quill of like, they're both shooting one of the guns, like over, you know, one's over the other shoulder. And like, now I want that. Now I want that team up thing.
Yeah. Well, we still might get
and
that.
And I can't get it.
Not with that voice actor. We still might get that character, though. I wonder if they'll use the character. If they're not going to use, you know, they're not going to recast him in live action, but I wonder if they would use a voice actor for that.
I kind of hope they don't, personally. That would be my preference.
Yeah.
It was kind of nice just to get this little ribbon and, like, knowing that Chadwick knew what he was going through and that he still was able to... Yeah, deliver such a lively performance here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want anyone to taint that legacy.
Mm. It hurts. Why does it hurt so much?
Yeah. It was really good, guys. Really good. Oh, well, I think that's about all. I just want to say that Thor is very much like a Labrador Retriever with his whole I trust everyone.
I wrote that down too.
He's a Labrathor.
Labrathor, there it is. Oh, man.
I trust everyone.
Well, any other thoughts before we shut her down?
Man. I mean, there's so many that can be talked about. Like, every part of all of the sequences and the double shields. The double shields! Yeah,
the double shields is wonderful.
I did like that whole sequence where it focused on the various stones, like the camera placement there, like when the soul stone was ejected and it was laying on the ground and you got to see everyone like scuffling around it.
Yeah.
It was like the intro to Guardians 2 with like, it was the new
boot. Yeah, it was.
I was like, where's the music? Where's the music? Yeah, yeah. It's dancing like a little jumping bean.
And then I appreciated the fact that our strange Supreme got to become a watcher in his own right, and the fact that Uatu has a friend and someone that he can actually relate to. It's kind of cool. It makes me excited for season two.
Yeah, that was cool.
He's just sitting there with his new little snow globe.
I want that snow globe.
I want that snow globe so bad.
Yeah.
Oh my god. All right, Google. Not don't tracking. Fail me.
All right. Well, it sounds like that's about what we got for tonight. I don't see anybody that highlighted any messages for us. So, but thank you guys for hanging out in the live watch. Thanks everybody for joining us for this What If series. We're going to be doing lots of feedback episodes, I'm sure, coming up. Speculating about what the future of the show is, because there's definitely more to come, and super pumped. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Hit us up, MCU cast, all that. Tell them where they can find your show, Jay Scotty.
Yeah, wherever you get your podcast, check out Animation Deliberation. It's the podcast that takes action, animation, and cartoons seriously, but not too seriously, so check us out.
Yeah, they're covering What If. They covered the What If this season, so if you haven't gotten enough What If coverage, which you clearly have not, you're still right here listening. So go check out their What If coverage. They've been doing full breakdowns every week, kind of more with the animation in mind. And they are the animation guys after all.
Yeah. We take a little bit more of a production viewpoint. And yeah, What If, Star Wars Visions, Young Justice season 4 is just around the corner.
Sweet. So many cool things.
Speaking of just around the corner, we've got 4 weeks until Eternals, you guys.
It's crazy. Speaking of time periods, I have 5 hours till I have to be awake and going to do a virtual event at 9 a.m. So I'm going to go to sleep.
Let's get you out of here.
All right. Love you all. 3,000. This was super fun. Can't wait for the next thing. We got a month off, weirdly, of content. A month sounds short till Eternals, but a month sounds long till the next Marvel thing.
It's not. It's not going to be that long.
I'm sad, you guys.
Time.
We'll have to do some commissioned episodes.
Reality.
Time.
Good night.
Until next time, true believers.
Later.
Bye.
Toasty.
Wow.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.